Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together tonight and seek your face and to worship you and to glorify your name, Lord. God, thank you that you're not done with us yet, that you are still working in us, that you are still growing us, that you are still teaching us. Father, we lift this night up to you. We ask your blessing over it. We thank you for your word and your message. Prepare us to receive it. Allow us to receive it, Lord. If there's something inside of us that's blocking, we just lay it down right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we want more. We seek more, Lord. So bless this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are blessed tonight to have a couple people sharing tonight, but we do have a little business to take care of. And that business would be that we turn our clocks back an hour on the third. That means we kind of lose an hour of sleep. But praise God, because next spring we'll get to spring forward. Amen? So it could look real gloom and doom at the losing an hour, but we can look forward to the advancement and another hour next spring. Amen?
So yeah, we get an extra hour of sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, send it back. Send it back, not forward.
I'm getting back. I don't want to go backwards.
Neither do I.
Huh?
Neither do I, but.
Did we lose an hour? Praise God. We get church 1 hour earlier. Maybe we should keep it on the same time, show up an hour earlier, and carry it on to the same time. Then we get a few extra hours. Amen?
Amen.
But praise God. He has a message for us tonight. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Please welcome John Selfers.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you. Thank you, Glee and Cindy, for sharing with us. Thanks for coming out tonight. It is, well, other people are celebrating something else. Read from the NIV. You can carry on in your, in your Bible, but Paul had a problem, and the problem was that people were asking him about Israel. Paul had a great ministry going on with the Gentiles, but Israel was like going backwards. And so in chapter 9, Galea shared about God's sovereignty and that God was in complete control over what was going on, and there was nothing that was going to escape his hand in the history of Israel. But chapter 10 tells us a little bit something else about Israel, and that is their lack of faith. They're not accepting what God had provided for them. God's design was different. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read here in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. And then I'll just give a couple of points, and then I'll hand it over to Dennis. So, brothers, it says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they do not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. And he quotes, "The man who does these things will live by them." But the righteousness that is by faith says, and quote, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That is, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed your message?" Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, "I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding." And Isaiah boldly says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me." But concerning Israel, he says, "All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is good to our hearts, and we trust your word, and we look to it now. Just ask your blessing upon what is shared. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a couple of things that I just want to bring to our attention. First of all, he talks about the fact that Israel has zeal for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. So basically, we have... What is zeal?
Passion.
Yes, passion, moving forward, excitement, right? Drive, I like that. Why don't we have zeal? Do we have zeal today?
Yes.
Do we?
Yes.
Yes. Galia has zeal. Yes, she has passion. But you know what? Passion is difficult for me because I'm passive. Yes, you're right. You know, I'm mild, yes. But I struggle with passivity in the past. And it's something that always comes up. It's difficult to have this passion for the Lord. It's difficult. But you know the reward, and our reward is with the Lord. And so I just wanted to share that with you, that sometimes our passivity gets in the way of our drive, our purpose, our desire for more of God. And so just remember that when you're when in your walk with the Lord. The second thing I just wanted to mention real quick is this connection that Paul has with the mouth and the heart. There's a connection there. And he's talked about this before in Romans chapter 8. But and I didn't have an opportunity to talk about it then, but I just want to mention a couple of things here. First of all, it's from our heart that Jesus said the mouth speaks, right? And sometimes for me, I find it difficult to say the things that I want to say. And so I find that for me, I have to speak in tongues because that's where my heart is. I want to be closer to God. But sometimes it's difficult to get it out of my mouth. You know what I mean? Some of you may know what I mean. Others have no idea. No clue. It's okay, Glia. We love. So just think about. So I want you to think about that in your own life. How is this connection with your heart and speaking it out? How does that work? And so I just want you to think about that and just ask the Lord, how is this gonna come out? Because there's your heart's boiling away, and something's gonna bust here pretty soon if you don't do something about it. And he says, there's this passage of scripture that I've got to find here, but I really enjoy it. If you confess with your mouth, for it is with your heart that you believe. And he says, you're justified. That's for the people who need salvation. So we don't really need to talk about salvation. I believe that most of us are saved. So what is it? So he says, it is with your heart that you believe. It is with your mouth that you confess. So you're saying these things. And so just think about what it is that your mouth is saying. Now, some of us have trouble with our mouth. It runs off. You know, that's okay. But you know what? Maybe you should think about, if you have a problem with your mouth, think about speaking in tongues. And just that act itself is just a way of saying, Lord, what I say is yours. And so I give it to you. And just ask that you would do that work in me. So there's a verse here that another verse that I really enjoy. Verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. I love to hear God's word being spoken out. I love to hear it. And so I have an app on my phone, and I listen to it constantly. And so I would recommend it highly for you, all of us, to just listen to God's word as much as you possibly can. And so technology is amazing, but it has its drawbacks if we're going to get swallowed up in it. But this app is great because I can hear God's word, and it makes me fall asleep. It's so peaceful, it's so loving, it's great. So that's all I have to say. Dennis is going to speak some more. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, John. Well, that was in the past. We're not accepting it as it's happening now, right, John? That passivity was in the past. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God for His Word, huh? It is powerful. You know, we sang a song tonight, you know, about our heart and about God. You know, we're surrendering our heart. When we slow down and take a minute to think of what we're just saying and surrendering our heart completely to God, are we, let's see, how's this working? Is this working okay? It's kind of tucked under this thing here, so praise the Lord. I have somebody maybe did it turn off, did it, maybe it turned off or froze. I used a little different translation than John did. I used the NLT translation, so there's a couple different words in it. Very good. Awesome. But as we read through it again, there are some real powerful words there. And the Jews now, mind you, that I hear Paul's passion for the Jews. Very passionate. He's so passionate. He's crying out to the Lord, man, I want these people to be saved. And he's exposing the fact that they're not saved yet. Right? And as we pray for our loved ones, man, do we really hit it with that level of passion and that level of desire? And I believe we all do. But we're going to believe that in the yet. They're not saved yet. That means there's an open door on that end. And we're not closing the door. We're not saying that they're defeated. We're not saying they're going to hell. And I loved what was said today at the food bank. It was, we don't want to see people go to hell with a full stomach. You know, it's more than food that gets passed out at the food bank. You know, this is a life-changing effect that has taken place. So I'm just going to read, and I have I believe it's a New King James Version here in the red down here at the bottom. It's a little different wording, but it says, "Dear brothers and sisters," this is Paul speaking, "the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people to be saved, Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal." Misdirected zeal. "For they do not understand God's way of making people right with Himself, refusing to accept God's way. They cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in Him are made right in with God." Amen? Amen. Praise God, we're all there. At least I believe we're all there. Are we all there?
Amen.
Amen. But the misdirected part really stood out to me because, well, how often do we get misdirected in our zeal for the Lord? How often are we over here, we want to see this when we should be believing in this, believing in the Lord? Completely, as we talked even today, as we open our hearts, are we truly opening our hearts and allowing God to fill that with Himself and His compassion, His desires? Or are we trying to do it on our own understanding or our own knowledge? You know, is this what I want, or is this what I need to see, or is my true hunger and desire to see God manifested through us? And it's, we often pray, "Lord, let people see the Jesus in me, not me. Let them see the Spirit of God in me, not me." Paul says, "Lord, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me." So in that, are we truly allowing that prayer to be answered completely and to the fullest? Or do we get a little bit misdirected and I want this and I want that, and Lord, I'd really, you know, I want this to see you, but do I need to see this to see you? You know what I mean? Can we just believe in what Jesus did? As the Jews, you know, they had the, let me open this up here. I made a few notes. They were God's chosen people, and yet they weren't saved. They sacrificed everything you could, and it didn't bring salvation. Amen? They had all of the feasts, the holy days. They had the everything they had. They had it, but they didn't believe it. They didn't accept it for what it was. Thank God we don't have to be that. We can accept the Word of God for what the Word of God says. And if He says it, it happened, it happened, He did it. Right here, look at this. I love this. I'm going to try the pointer here. Oops. Is the pointer working? Oh. It's not working. I turned it off. It's working. So, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. It's already accomplished. The law has already been fulfilled. Praise the Lord that we don't have to do anything to try to fulfill the law. Because guess what? All of us combined, putting our efforts together, couldn't fulfill that, even if we tried throughout our life. Thank God that He did it. Thank God He did it for us. It says, again, here's Paul's passion, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, not having submitted to the righteousness of God. Oh, submitted. What's the opposite of submitted? Rebellion. So there was a little bit of rebellion back then, as there is today. Anybody been a little bit rebellious?
Never.
Come on. I can't be the only one. Praise God. We got a couple. We sold rebellion. But guess what? Each and every day, that rebellion gets less and less and less. Because God is helping us become to a place of righteous. Amen. God's doing it in us. He's pulling us out of our rebellion and our lawlessness and our anger and all the things of the world, and He's pulling us and drawing us into this right standing with Him. Praise God. And it's we don't have to do it. We can accept it, and what our love for the Lord will do will empower and in an excitement. It'll cause a stirring because we're in love with the Lord. We're going to fall in love with Christ and what He's done on the cross, and we're going to accept it. We don't have to be misdirected. If we remember what we're looking at, are we looking at the right things? Are our eyes focused on the right prize? Or are we looking at this and then coming, oh yeah. Are we looking at this? Oh yeah. You know, again, and that's one of the big things, is, you know, the little testimony real quick is that when I first came to the Lord, I says, Lord, if you have anybody from my past, you're going to have to bring them up in front of me because I'm looking at you this way. If I'm looking at you this way, I'm not going to go and turn and look back, because if I turn and look back away to see my past and go find my friends, I'm walking away from the prize that I should be, and we should be walking in this direction. So we don't have to be misdirected. The zeal doesn't have to be misdirected. the zeal can very much be on the right prize. Amen? We can be excited about the Word of God. We can be excited about the message that God put in you to share with somebody. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let me see if I can get to, there we go. Okay, so verse 5, it says, Moses writes that the law's ways of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips and in your heart, as John said earlier. It's in your heart. Anybody have a heart transplant? I do. A heart of stone got taken out, and a heart of flesh was replaced. Praise God. I think we all have actually had one. I just kind of was a little bit misleading. Leaving it open a little bit. But praise God. It says, and that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How much do we have to do? We have to believe and we have to speak. We have to speak about our faith. And who is our faith in? We have to speak it. We get to share it. And by speaking, I believe there's something said, it's in the power of the spoken word. Amen? And so we have a voice that God has given us and we can speak about our faith. Salvation's for everyone. Everyone. Everyone up there, salvation's for. Praise God. I think the only reason, if somebody up there wasn't able to get salvation, maybe somebody needs to go out and share a little bit about Jesus. Amen? So we have a job to do. We should want to share the good news. And it should be something that we speak about with excitement because we have recognized just where we were and where God has us, and it was because of the spoken word that we've been saved because somebody shared it with you. Amen? Hallelujah. I love this picture because it doesn't leave anybody out. There's Korean in there. You just have to look real close. But see, God created every one of those people. And we can believe that Christ died on the cross and was raised again for every one of those people he created, just the way they've been created. God doesn't make mistakes. It's not by accident we're here. It says in verse 10, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Openly declaring your faith. Amen. Hey, I'm saved. You're saved. Is everybody in here? Can we say, I'm saved? I am saved. I'm not lost anymore. We're not lost anymore. I am saved. Hallelujah. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we all have called on the name of the Lord. And we get the opportunity. We can and we will, and I'll speak it as we will, be presented with an opportunity to share the good news with somebody who can call on the name of the Lord. And their life will begin changing. I don't know how we can call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him for so many things and our life not change. You know what I mean? It's like exciting because it's a new life. It's new air. It's new eyes to see, ears to hear, a renewing of our mind. Our thoughts are being renewed and changed. When we call on the name of the Lord, life begins, truly. And He's faithful to be there when you call on the name of the Lord. Are all my sons on fire for Jesus? Well, you know what? They might be at the bar tonight. But I'm not giving up hope. I'm not going to stop praying. I even believe they know the Lord. They just aren't living for Him right yet. But there will be a day. And I speak it as though there will be. Not that there might be, not that there may be. There will be. That they'll turn and say, God, I remember who you are. I know who you are. I wanted to put this picture right here because I think this we can all relate to. At one point in our life, we were drowning. At one point in our life, we were sinking. At one point in our life, we didn't even have any hope. But God, I want to say, God saw something in you that He reached down from the heavens and extended His hand to meet yours and grab hold. And He's not going to let go. He's not going to let go. I'm going to say that again. He's not going to let go. Even if we fall short, even if we lose our strength in our hand might go weak, but God's hand will remain strong. And He will not let go. He will not forsake you. Amen? I have a couple more pictures of this, of people being saved by God. Here we are. Here we were. Here we are. The embrace of Christ. When we were in this place, maybe we weren't trusting God. Maybe we were misdirected. Or we were looking at the wrong things. But we cried out, and the Lord was faithful. And this, what an embrace. An embrace that will last for eternity. Most powerful picture I found. I believe it's the most powerful picture because it's a man at the cross on his knees. Right here, it's a little fuzzy because I kind of blew it up a little bit. Right in this hand is a nail. You see, in this other hand is the hammer. And Jesus is on the cross. This was us. Was. We put that nail and drove it in His hand. But He laid there and He took it for us. Because He loves us. He did it for you. He did it for us. So that we would no longer be nailing Him to the cross, but we would be celebrating. We would be celebrating in the victory of the cross. We would be celebrating in salvation. we would be celebrating in relationship. We would be celebrating in a life that's worth living now. Something that is different from our past, that once was, and now we are. I once was, but now I am. I once was lost, but now I no longer am found. I am found. I once was unsaved, and now I'm saved. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was deaf, but now I hear. Praise God. Amen? So let us not become... Let me go back to the very beginning here. Oops. Let us not be misdirected. Let us remain focused. Let us remain in victory. Let us remain standing on the firm foundation of God. Let us remain in this relationship. We don't have to look to the left or to the right. Stay focused on the prize. The prize is being with Jesus. We're going to seek His face. We're going to ask for miracles. We're going to believe in miracles. Our God is still doing miracles. I heard some testimonies this week. Our God is still active. Amen? Amen. We're going to believe. We're going to have faith. And so, praise God that this is where He has us, and we're right where we're supposed to be. We're not going to be misdirected. We're not going to be knocked off the path. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, I thank You for tonight. Lord, I thank You for Your word and Your message. I thank You, Lord, that we're not going to look to the left or to the right. I thank You, Father, that we will have a greater faith today than we did yesterday. I thank You, Father, that our confidence will be strengthened more today than it was yesterday. I thank You that our eyes are clearer today than they were yesterday. Yesterday's gone, Lord, but today is a new day. And today things are made new, and we are made new. And the strength that we have, the strength that we have today is new strength. Father, I ask Your blessing over each one of us tonight, that when we walk out of here, we walk out of here bold, that we walk out of here confident, that we walk out of here stating in the victory that we are saved, that we are not lost, that we are not blind, but we walk in the victory of what You did on the cross, Jesus, and that our minds are open and our hearts are open to receive You, to continue to minister to us, continue to stretch us, continue to grow us, but God, continue to reveal Yourself to us more. Minister to us in our sleep tonight, Father. Let us have visions. Let us have dreams, Lord. Father, we give You all the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Thank You for coming, everyone.